You know, this morning's message is very simple. I just want you to look at Jesus this morning. A lot of times I have this point, that point, and try to get you to this point, but I just want you to see this morning how wonderful Jesus is and how he can make us perfectly whole. I want you to see that Jesus cares for us, cares for you. If you'll notice in your Bible, Matthew chapter 14, notice if you would, the first part of chapter 14 is about John the Baptist being beheaded. And this whole chapter is predicated upon that and the effect it had on Jesus. Notice with me if you would, in verse 10, and he sent and beheaded John in prison. You'll notice if you would in verse number 13, and when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. So Jesus Christ hears about John the Baptist's death, and he's moved. He's moved to get alone and spend time with him. He's grieved. He's burdened. He knows that John the Baptist was prophesied in Scripture to be the forerunner to point everybody to Jesus Christ. He knew that Jesus that John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. He saw John the Baptist, and the Bible says that he was the greatest man born of women, aside from Jesus Christ. So John the Baptist was somebody very special to Jesus Christ, and when he heard that he was dead, he knew all about it, but it still grieved him. So nothing happens in your life and my life it doesn't touch the heart of God. And so Jesus Christ did what all of us might do. He got in a boat and went to a quiet place. He found a place apart from everyone. He was burdened. He was grieved. And anytime you lose someone or something of great value, importance to you, the best thing we can do is get alone and say, Lord, could I talk to you for a few minutes? Our strength, our comfort must come from the God of heaven. And Jesus Christ got alone. Now, if you'll notice, it looks like he started to pray and talk with his father, and then he was interrupted. Notice, if you would, Matthew 14, verse number 13. And when he heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. So the word got out, Jesus is here. So the cities started to empty themselves. And notice, if you would, why? Verse 14. And Jesus went forth. So he goes up to this desert place to pray. And the word desert is a solitary place. No one else was there. And I think when you and I learn to talk with God and we really want to get the attention of God, we get to a solitary place. Matthew 6 says, when you get to your prayer closet, close the door and pray. And your Father which seeth in secret, where's your secret place today? Jesus had one. And when people heard about it, they followed him. He, at this point in his ministry, is very famous. He's the healer. And you must understand, doctors in this day didn't have the ability they do today. And so when they heard there was one that could heal, truly heal, they said, we've got to get our family to him. So they began to empty the cities. And they began to go around to find Jesus Christ. And you notice in verse 14, and Jesus went forth. He left his solitary place and went to them and saw a great multitude. So apparently he had gone up to a mountain and a place that was private, and he hears the rumbling of people, and he's interrupted, and Father, could just give me a minute. He goes out and look, and he sees the multitudes. You know how many are there? 5,000 men alone, plus women and children, maybe 15, 20,000 people. They've come from everywhere. They've heard Jesus is here. Notice why. Verse 14, Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. When you and I get close to the Lord, he's always touched. He's moved with compassion toward us. When we fall into sin, he's moved with compassion toward us. When we do what is right, he's moved with compassion toward us. He sees you and I, and he's burdened for us, the people in this room. If you're here today and you say, you know, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior, I promise you Jesus Christ is moved with compassion for you. And he holds out his hand and said, would you come and let me heal you? Would you come, let me heal your sinful heart and give you a new heart, one that writes your name in the book of life and gives you a new heart, and you can come to heaven and be with me forever. That's the reason Jesus came, was to cause people's attention to be drawn to that cross so that they could say, there's the Messiah, he paid my debt. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, today ought to be the day. Matter of fact, he said in Hebrews 3, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Acquaint now thyself with him, Job 22:21, and be at peace. And the Lord Jesus, come now and let us reason together. Isaiah 1:18, he wants you and I to come to him the second we realize we're lost. Now, something's wrong with us. It's called pride. I want you to see something here. How many of you, the first day you realized you were lost, you turned to Jesus Christ and said, Lord, would you save me? In other words, when the Holy Spirit pricked your heart, unlike the Apostle Paul, why are you kicking against the pricks? The Holy Spirit was touching his heart. He kept saying, no, no, not today, not today, not today, not today. How many of you were saved the first time you felt the pricking of God's Holy Spirit? That day you were saved. Raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five. How many of you are like me? We kicked against the pricks and said, not today. And we put it off for a while. Raise your hand. Look at it. Raise it up. Raise it good and high. Look at the crowd. You know, something's wrong with us. Only pride causes that. Well, I don't know. Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure Jesus is who he says he is. Well, I'm not that bad. The old devil sits up here and gives us 1,000 excuses. Every one of them will send us to hell. And so he says, holds out his hand to you and says, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Come unto me, I'll give you rest. So Jesus steps out from his solitary place and sees the multitudes. And I'm sure he said, Father, give me just a little bit of time. I want to take care of these people. I want to come back and talk with you. And he does, and I'll show that in a minute. So he goes out, and he sees the people. And notice, if you would, in verse 15, when it's evening. So we don't know when he was touched, when he first heard about John the Baptist being slain. But I would imagine it was fairly early in the morning, and went on a ship, went up the mountainside. He's been praying for a little while. Then he gets interrupted, and so he goes out and sees the crowd, and it's a huge crowd. One of the largest crowds assembled there that probably those people have ever seen. 15, 20, 25, 30,000. And you'll notice in verse 15, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert time. Now, what's he been doing? What's he been doing all this time? Notice verse 14, the last phrase. And he healed their sick. So you got 20,000 people. Can you imagine? I go by a resting hospital, and they got a sign at the outside that says emergency room wait time, 3 minutes. That's a lie, I promise you. How many have ever been, you go by and you see it, and it says, okay, 30 minutes, 45 minutes. And so they all came to Jesus Christ, and it took time, but he healed every one of them. Can you imagine? Now, that's the proof that you're the real healer. When you can be amongst a crowd of 20, 30,000 people and heal them all. So when they're all finished and he's healed everyone and everybody's rejoicing, can you imagine taking a blind cousin or brother and all of a sudden he's now can see? Can you imagine the rejoicing that's going on in this crowd? And so then notice, if you would, in verse number 15, when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place. It is a lonely place. There's nothing out here. There's no McDonald's. Can you imagine no McDonald's in the place? I mean, McDonald's are everywhere. Notice, if you would. And the time is now past. It's past time to be able to fix a meal. Lord, it's too late. I mean, we need to send them home. And send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. Lord, send them away so they can go buy themselves something to eat before everything closes down. And Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. Now, I'm sure those disciples about had a heart attack right there. Lord, what are we going to do? They're just like Moses. When the Lord said, I'm going to give the children of Israel food, maybe a million people, I'm going to give them food. I'm going to give them meat every day for 30 days. And Moses looked at God and said, are you going to sacrifice all the herds in Egypt? Lord, how can you do that? And the Lord looked at him and said, my arm shortened that I cannot save. My ear heavy, cannot hear. He says, what's wrong with you, Moses? Don't you trust me? And I think when we get into the presence of God, our faith begins to grow. And I think that's one of the purposes of this passage. Only his disciples missed it. Notice, if you would, in verse number 17, and they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's not even enough for me. Hey, how many of you got grandsons? And they're about 15, 18 years old. That's not enough for them right there. Just one of them. It doesn't even fill up the right leg, let alone the left one. And so, Lord, what are we going to do? We've only got this little bit of stuff. And he says, sit everybody down. I can imagine the consternation on their mind. Sit everybody down. We're going to pray for a meal? And this is all we've got? And they say unto him, verse 17, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake. And gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat. So get pictures. All of a sudden, the disciples start getting loaves from him and taking it to him. Now, there was something about this that was miraculous. The disciples didn't understand it, but he kept giving them loaves. I would imagine he says 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I would imagine they were in some sort of a basket or some sort of a carry-all, and he just kept picking up loaves and giving them here, and loaves and picking them here, loaves and giving them here, and loaves and giving them here, and he just kept giving loaves out, and they started distributing it. Now, keep in mind, in that day, to have bread was sufficient food. So you didn't get a sandwich, lettuce and tomatoes. You didn't get chicken. You didn't get 2 loaves of bread. You didn't get a bag of chips and a cold drink to go with it. And this day, just to have bread was sufficient. So he's giving them loaves and the fishes too. I mean, man, they're in heaven. And so he's passing them out, and they just keep coming, and he passes them out until everybody says, pass this down, pass this down. And the word gets out, the best bread we've ever eaten, the best fish we've ever eaten, and it gets out, and it goes all over everybody. And the disciples keep coming up to him, and he keeps pulling out of that bag. And they say, I don't understand this. I've never seen anything like this. Notice, if you would, verse 20, and they did all eat and were filled. Now that's something in and of itself, to be filled. Notice, if you would, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. Okay, let's. If you got any left over, pass it up. And they started passing up, and they had other people had brought baskets with them for whatever in it. Maybe they had a cloak in it to for their sick one or whatever. But they found 12 baskets, and they filled it up with food left over. And the disciples looked at that, and it went like this. Has God ever done something for you that was a miracle? No explanation. And it goes like this. And the next time you pray, it's as though God did nothing for you. Folks, that's part of this story, is that we learn that our God can do anything. He can heal us when it's his will, and he can provide for us when it's his timing. But do we trust him? Notice what happens. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. You want to know why? They had not learned their lesson yet. You want to know why trouble comes in bunches? Because we don't normally learn the lesson the first time. So notice what he does. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So he says, okay, everybody go back to your families now. Go back to your homes. And he says, disciples, you guys go get in the ship. Now the word constrained, he really urged them diligently. Go get in the ship. Now go get in the ship. We'll help you. No, you go get in the ship. You want to know why? They hadn't learned their lesson of the miracle of the loaves yet. Have we learned the miracle that God can do whatever he needs to do for us? Have we learned to lay things on the table and say, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen with this hospital. Lord, this hospital bill, Lord says, trust me. I don't know what's going to happen, Lord. This report's supposed to come back, Lord. What happens if it's cancer? Lord, what happens if it's... Lord says, trust me. Lord, I don't know what the future holds. Trust me. We have forgotten they reached into one basket and fed 20,000. We haven't learned to trust him yet. See what's going to happen? He's going to say, Dave Pittman, I want you to go get in that ship. You got some more lessons to learn. You know, it's better if we learn the lessons first time. We don't have to get in the ship the second time. Notice what happens in verse number 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. So he goes back up into the mountain now, and he finishes talking to his father. Now, keep in mind, it's real dark now. He's up in the mountain. He's praying. He's talking time with his father. And he goes through watch one, watch two, watch three. And these are three-hour increments. You know, he's going through time. And notice, if you would, verse number 23. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. So he's now back to uninterrupted time with his father, praying for us. Praying for those thousands that just received food, that they would learn the lesson, that nothing with him is impossible. Praying that his disciples would learn the lesson, knowing that they had not. Praying for their fears about the upcoming trial. Do you understand today that nothing happens in your life that God doesn't know and plan? And then it's for a purpose. That is why you and I can't say, Lord, why is all this happening to me? If he makes no mistakes and he loves us more than the world, everything in our lives is designed to make us more like him. A brighter light, a closer walk. But do we allow that to happen? You know, I'm afraid we get our minds, well, Lord, what am I going to do about this infection? Lord, what am I going to do about this cancer? Lord, I'll just lay it at your feet and trust you. That's what he wants. Because there is no shortage of power. Learn the lesson. There is no shortage of care. He looked out on the multitude and with compassion. In the middle of his prayer time, he had compassion for the multitudes. Do you understand how much God loves you today? I just want you to see how wonderful he is. He's doing the greatest joy of his life talking to his father, and he gets interrupted by us and our needs. And he's okay with it. And he takes care of us. He provided for the disciples. He provided for the multitudes. And then he sent them all away, and he goes back to his delight talking to his father. But notice what happens in verse number 22. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Now look in verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea and tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, do you think God himself did not know the wind was contrary? I would say, take it one step further. He sent the wind so that he could stir their hearts, that their mind could go back. I know he can take care of this storm because I saw that basket. And he just kept pulling bread out of it and kept pulling bread out of it until the whole multitude was fed. He can do anything. But you know what? We're slow learners. Every one of us in this room. We're slow to learn that he loves you. We're slow to learn that you're important to him. Everyone in this room. We're slow to learn that he wants to save you. He wants to save your soul because he wants you in heaven with him. That's why he came. But he also wants us to learn the lesson. He can make us perfectly whole. We're flawed people. We lie. We cheat. We steal. We think immoral thoughts. We do the wrong things. We're mean to people when they're mean to us. We do everything wrong if we're not careful. Even though when we compare ourselves to other people, we can always find somebody, I'm better than them. But them is not the standard. So notice, if you would, in verse number 25. And In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Now, do you notice what he does? He's praying, and he's praying all night. He's so burdened for us, the people of this his day and age, that he's praying for them. He's fellowshipping with his Father. And so he realizes that his disciples are in trouble, so he again leaves his secret place, and he goes to the ocean, the sea here. And notice, if you would, in verse number 25, he went in the fourth watch of the night of them walking on the sea. So again, he doesn't need normal things that you and I need. He can take care of us in the midst of a great storm by just his own hand. And you and I have to learn to trust him. We have to learn that he can guide the doctor's hands. That even if the guy, if he decides to not bless the doctor and something goes wrong, that he still has a plan. That he's got a plan to work in every life in this room. You have to understand from this story that he loves you. He has compassion for you, and he has a plan for you. And he'll back it up with his power. So notice, if you would, in verse number 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. And notice, if you would, in verse 27, and straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." In other words, don't be afraid, it's me. They see him walking on the water, and Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou." Don't we always doubt? The Lord is always with us. The Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And then all of a sudden we get in a difficult circumstance and say, "Lord, is that you that's giving me this peace?" And we, Lord, is that you? And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, let me walk on the water." Now, I think it's rather humorous here that the Lord does exactly what he says. He answers his prayer. Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, let me walk on the water." I don't think most of the time that works. "Lord, if it's you, would you do this? Lord, if it's you, would you do that?" I don't think the "if" works. I think, "Lord, I know it's you. Would you do this?" works. Faith. So notice what happens in verse number 29. And he said, "Come." Now, at that point in time, I say, "Lord, I take it back. I don't want to come to you. I take it back. I believe it's you. I don't need to come on the water." Because remember, the ship's filling up with water and the wind is boisterous. And the worst thing you can do as a sailor in the middle of a storm is to get outside the ship. You're finished if that happens. And so he says, "Come." And Peter, a man of great faith and trust, okay. Notice, if you would, in verse number 29, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So he gets down, he climbs down out of the side of the ship, and lands on the water, and it's solid, and he starts walking to Jesus. Then he takes his eyes off of Christ. And that's the same thing that happens to all of us. When we get into life, we take our eyes off of Jesus Christ, and everything begins to fall apart. "Lord, I know that you can take care of my grandson, but Lord, look, he's sick, is this and that." The Lord says, "I've got this. But Lord, I know you can do anything, but Lord, this bill, Lord, how am I going to pay this? Lord, I know you can do anything, but this relationship, Lord." And the Lord says, "I got this." Do you trust the wonderful Lord that knows everything about you? Do you seek the secret place where you can meet with him? Do you trust him? I'm afraid we're so busy in life that we see the issues and not the Savior. I think we're so worried about taking care of us and ours that we don't have the heart to say, "Lord, I need you. Lord, you're the difference in my life." Notice, if you would, in verse number 30, "And when he saw the wind was boisterous," nobody's ever seen the wind, but he saw the results of it, "and he was afraid." And every time we get in the midst of a storm, when we take our eyes off of Jesus Christ, we're always going to be afraid. I can remember being afraid in the hospital with Susan. I can remember being afraid in the hospital with Jeremy. I can remember being afraid in the hospital with various of our church members. I'm really worried. I'm really worried for their sake. I was worried for Carolyn that she might lose her leg because it's a fourth knee replacement in 2 or 3 years. Lord, would you put a hedge about her? Would you protect her? And everything goes perfectly. Why? Because you learn to say, "Lord, I can't do anything, and I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to turn them over to you." Do you do that today? Do you trust him? "Lord, we sure would like to have this vehicle. Lord, we'd like to have this home. Lord, we'd like to have..." Oh, Lord, I trust you. That's this story. Do you know Jesus never failed when someone came to him and said, "Would you heal me?" He never said, I don't know if I can do it today. I don't feel good. No sinner ever came to him and said, "Lord, could you forgive me my sin?" He says, "Yeah, but you've done an awful lot wrong." Never happened. The Lord always looks at us and says, "If you come to me, I'll draw you close to me in salvation and in surrender." The problem is we don't see Jesus as the wonderful Savior of the cross. Today, have you seen him? Do you trust him? Have you exercised your faith? Notice, if you would, in verse number 31. "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand." Now, I want you to notice, get the picture here. Verse 30, verse 29. He jumps out of the boat. He gets out of the boat and he walks to Jesus. And there's a great way off because they saw Jesus off a great way off and didn't recognize him. So he's a long ways off and say, "Lord, is that you?" "Yes. Bid me to come out. Let me come to the water." And Jesus says, "Come." So he gets out and he starts walking and looks around and says, "Whoa, I made a mistake." And he starts to sink. And Jesus covers the ground from over here all the way over to there and grabs him by the hand before he goes down. Notice, if you would. "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him." He was going under and he caught him. And I want you to understand today, Jesus will never let you go under. He'll always catch you. You got to understand, the Lord Jesus loves you today. Do you have to put everybody out of this room and let yourself alone be in this room. Now, let me just say this to you. I'm a little bit confused this morning because the Macheskis always sit right here, and this spot's messed up, and they're over here. So I'm a little confused this morning. But if everybody in this room were empty and it was just Robin, he would say, "I got this." If everybody in this room, you're in the right place. Rick's right in the right place. "I got this." Do you trust him? The story of the 5,000, will you trust me? I can do this again. Will you trust me? He did it for the 5,000, not because of the masses, but because he knew every individual name. And he'll do it in this room, not because of the masses, but because he knows every individual name. And he knows your needs. Will you trust him? Will you come to him and say, "Lord, would you help me?" Notice, if you would, in verse number 32. "And they were coming to the ship," Jesus and Peter. "When they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased." And they knew why. In this passage, you know, we know from other passages, he says, "Peace, be still. Peace to the wind, water, be still." And there's a great calm. And the men looked at each other. They said, "What kind of man is this?" Notice, if you would, in verse 33, "Then they that were in the ship came," and there were a lot of people in the ship, "and they came and worshiped him." That is the goal of every miracle in our life. That is the goal of every storm in our life. That is the goal of every difficulty you and I face, is that you and I would seek him out and say, "Lord, I need you." And that he would provide the loaves of bread that we shouldn't have and that are miraculously done, or the healing from the hand of God. Notice, if you would, in verse number 36, "And besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment." They were too embarrassed. They said, "Look, we can't ask you to touch them, but if they could just touch you, would it be okay? Not you yourself, but just the hem of your garment." Almost the picture, it is the picture of a great king and his servants coming up just to touch the hem of his garment. What a great privilege that is. And he said, "Okay." "And as many as touched were made perfectly whole." And you read throughout scripture, everyone was healed. Everyone that came was healed. And I want you to understand today that there's no exception today. If you have an issue, will you see the wonderful Christ that shed his blood for you? Everyone in this room, no one's excluded. "But the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." He'll save you today. "Well, Pastor, I think I'm okay." You're in trouble. Don't kick against the pricks. If the Holy Spirit's touching your heart today, Remember this, there is a day when the knocking will cease. That's the day of call too late. Don't let it be for you today. And maybe you're here today and you're facing some difficulties and some struggles and some trials, and we haven't yet learned the lesson. And we realize that God can do everything, can do anything, but we just don't have the faith to trust Him. Would you touch the hem of His garment this morning? Because He says, everyone that did was made perfectly whole. Today, all I want you to see is there's a great God in heaven that paid our debt of sin, that loves you today. And all He wants is your secret place if you know Him. He wants you to meet with Him. Take your Bible, turn back to Matthew chapter 6. Once you see this, look with me if you would. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. But thou, my children, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Everybody's got a secret place. Where's yours? Jesus had one, is on top of a mountain. And when thou shut thy door, He realizes we live in houses for the most part. Pray to thy Father. Notice thy Father. It indicates we're born of God, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. You know what He's saying? Will you trust me today? These men in the ship, they go to Jesus Christ, and the Bible says they worshiped Him. That's that original word, to kneel down almost to adore Him, to recognize He is worthy, He is all powerful, and He loves you. Yesterday, and this word, worship, is always about the example in many books that you'll read about word studies is that's a dog that comes up and licks the hand of his master, realizing the master loves him. The master is great. I want to be close to him. Yesterday, Susan left me this dog, and she, her name's Charity, and she loves to play in the pool. She loves to go swimming. She loves, and a ball, she gets a ball. I have about five of them I've purchased, and I have a drawer with them in it. Because when she loses it, she loses her mind. She goes all over the house looking for the ball. And so if I can't find it, I have to go get a ball of some sort. So I just bought some extras, and I pull it out of the drawer, and I throw it out there, and she just, heaven is again. So she goes running around. So when she gets in the pool or outside the pool, you'll be swimming, doing your exercises, and she'll walk over with that ball in her mouth and drop it right in the edge of the pool and start walking. You get the ball, you throw it, and she tears out after it, I mean like lightning, and she'll do it as long as you'll throw it. Your arm may fall off, she'll still be running back and forth. She just loves to play. And so then after it's over with last night, she played a lot yesterday, and I was sitting down, and I was just praying and talking to the Lord about this and just thinking about the service this morning, and she comes up, and she starts trying to get my attention. She crawls up in my lap, and she comes up right up here, and she wants my attention. She wants to lick me. I said, no, get down, dog. So she lays in my lap, and she goes to sleep. She just wants to be in my presence. I think the perfect example of worship is when we want to be in the presence of the Lord. That's all that matters. She's got the whole place. She's got her own bed, but she wanted to be with me. Or she wants to be with Michaela. I think you and I get so distracted with things of this life that we don't have or that we need or things that we've got we want to get rid of like health issues, that we haven't yet learned to worship him. Today, Jesus loves you. He died to save you. And he wants your worship. Where is your secret place? Have you spent time with him this morning? Do you love him? Because he certainly loves you. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning. Oh, our wonderful Lord. Maybe you're here today. Could I challenge you this? Do you feel the convicting hand of the Lord? Do you hear his tap on your heart? Will you trust him? Will you trust him? Paul didn't want to. Most people don't. If in a room of hundreds, only a few say, I'll trust him. Right off the bat, I'll trust him. Most of us, we don't. Could I ask you this morning, if you sense his touch, would you come to me this morning? Could I help you get it settled for all eternity? Could I help you get your name written in the book of life for all ages? Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm going through something. Pastor, I got something I'm struggling with. Would you let me pray for you this morning? Pastor, would you pray for me? There's some things going on in my life, and I need just the faith to believe the Lord can keep pulling the loaves out of that basket. Would you pray for me this morning? Would you pray for me that I'd learn to worship the Lord and have faith in him? Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand up all over the building? Just raise it up. Let me see it. All over. Yes, all over. Yes, yes, yes. Could I ask you this morning, maybe you need to come to this altar and say, Lord Jesus, I don't have the answer, but I know you do. And maybe you just need to talk to him. Remember when the storm came and he saw the storm, they worshiped him. Maybe you're still in the middle of the storm. I still know he'd love for you to worship him. You'd come and look him in the eye, try to get close to him and say, Lord, thank you for loving me. Lord, thank you for what you're about to do, what you can do. Lord, I trust you. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to our feet. Turn your eyes upon Jesus this morning. Because, oh, he loves you. Father, I thank you for loving us more than we could ever know. I thank you for sending your son to pay our debt of sin. Lord Jesus, help us to realize how wonderful you are today. And help us to desire just to touch the hem of your garment and make all things well. In your precious name we pray. Amen.